The United States of America was ultimately founded by Christians of different denominations seeking religious freedom. The first freedom listed in the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, that is the Bill of Rights, is religious freedom. And America is sensitive, even to this day, to the issue of religious freedom in other places around the world where it can even be dangerous to be a Christian or some other religion. So religious freedom is important. Now, recently, a group of Christian leaders wrote an open letter to President Trump about the dangers Christians face in the African country of Nigeria, where Islamists are slaughtering many Christians. One of those Christian leaders who wrote to the president is Wendy Wright. She heads up Christian Freedom International, and she joins us now to discuss an update, really, on the persecution of Christians. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Wendy, it's always a pleasure to have you back on. Thank you for joining us.
I'm pleased to be with you.
Sure. So go ahead and tell us about this open letter that you and Mark Tooley and Nina Shea and all kinds of people wrote to the president. And it's my understanding, you look at a lot of what you said, and it seems like he responded well.
Yes. Well, there's been a slaughter of Christians in Nigeria for years now, and it just seems to just be increasing. And so a number of us wrote to the president urging him to designate Nigeria as a country of particular concern. Now, what that means is that the country has been identified as allowing persecution of religious minorities and allows for the United States to act, to put sanctions on officials and to do a variety of things to put pressure on the government in order to try and end the killing of Christians and persecution of Christians and other religious minorities. And so this letter urging President Trump to act was sent just probably a week or two ago. And we can't take credit, of course. There are a number of voices that have been speaking out, and pastors in Nigeria videotaping, showing the mass burials and funerals of Christians in villages. The evidence is very clear that Christians are being targeted by Islamist militants in Nigeria. And even to the point that even Bill Maher, the liberal comedian, talk show host, he even said, "I'm not a Christian, but what's happening in Nigeria is a genocide against Christians. Christians are being killed." So we're so grateful that President Trump on Friday announced that he is designating Nigeria as a country of particular concern. Now, one thing that I found it was really striking was the response by the Nigerian government seemed almost dismissive of this really critical step that President Trump took. And so the very next day, on a Saturday, President Trump tweeted out that a threatening military action within Nigeria in order to go after the Islamists who are attacking the persecuted Christians in Nigeria. This has just raised it to a level that is quite striking. I'm not sure any of us had anticipated that, but that seems to have been the thing to catch the Nigerian officials' attention. And hopefully we're going to see some quick action.
Well, it's interesting that the previous administration basically declassified Nigeria as this place where it was really, really dangerous. And if I understood things correctly, it was they were saying something like, "Oh, well, these are basically tribal conflicts related to climate change and scarce resources," something to that effect, as opposed to, "Okay, these are Muslim Islamists that are out to kill the Christians." And by the way, I understand that some of the victims in Nigeria include, let's say, moderate Muslims or Muslims of a different stripe than the Islamists.
Yes. So there have been a number of almost apologists saying things like, "Oh, this is a conflict over resources such as crops. Oh, the Fulani militant herdsmen who are slaughtering the Christians, they just simply want the crops of the Christian farmers to feed to their cattle," or that it's climate change that is driving the Fulani militants into the area where a majority of Christians live. But the reality is that nowhere else where there's climate change happening do you see Christians being slaughtered. That's not an excuse. And as far as Muslims being killed, yes, there are Muslims being killed, but it's the same perpetrators that are killing both the so-called moderate or liberal Muslims and the Christians. But also, the number of Muslims being killed is smaller in comparison to the number of Christians. It's about 6-1 number of Christians versus Muslims being killed in the north, which is where the Islamists have more control. So we need to be looking at what is fueling the slaughter, and it's Islamist ideology. There's no question about that. And this insurgency by militants who are being weaponized and militarized. So there needs to be a deep look at to where the funding is coming from to give AK-47s and other kinds of weapons of mass destruction to these Fulani militants, and the ideology that is driving them to kill even their own neighbors. So it's a misdirection to say that it's anything other than the persecution of Christians and the intention of creating an Islamic caliphate throughout Nigeria.
You know, it's interesting. I really appreciate you coming on from time to time, giving us an update on the persecution of Christians. And I think one thing that comes out that's very, very clear, whoever is the president in the United States, or even, what is the prevailing feelings, among many of our politicians in the United States, that has ramifications for Christians in these other countries where they are facing persecution.
There's no question about that. We see a clear difference when the president of the United States was Obama or Biden. You see the increase of persecution against Christians. We saw the rise of ISIS under the term of Obama. We saw in Nigeria, it appears that there was almost a green light given to the spread of Islamism throughout the country. And under Biden, it got even worse. We appealed to President Biden to designate Nigeria as a country of particular concern. President Trump did it in his first term. President Biden lifted that designation to the utter bewilderment of everyone. No one could understand why the Biden administration lifted that designation. And now President Trump has put it back in place. But one thing I do want to encourage listeners, we have done what we can collectively as evangelicals, as Christians speaking out on behalf of our persecuted brothers and sisters. And President Trump has listened. But there's more that we can do. There are now survivors, those who are suffering from the attacks in Nigeria and in other countries. And we need to come alongside them and help them. Christian Free International is doing things such as helping the orphans to get schooling, to get food, helping widows and the young adults who are left caring for their siblings, to give them training on how to start small businesses and to have skills in order to provide for their families, and also providing Bible training and discipleship to strengthen their faith through the persecution that they're enduring. So I want to encourage all listeners that the work has not ended with President Trump designating this Nigeria as a country of particular concern, but that we as believers need to come alongside our fellow believers to help them to overcome the persecution they're facing.
All right. So let's leave the country of Nigeria and look at other places as far as persecution is going on. Are things still bad for Christians in North Korea? And are things getting bad for Christians in South Korea, which would be very ironic?
Yes, I mean, that's been so shocking to many of us. North Korea continues to be a country in which Christians are severely persecuted. What's been shocking is that the South Korean government is completely kowtowing to China and to North Korea and has been cracking down on Christian leaders, particularly pastors. And in fact, there are pastors that have been jailed for simply talking about biblical issues that cross over into political issues within their churches. It's been incredibly disturbing to see that the South Korean government, under the current president of South Korea, is taking the same kind of position, the same kind of actions that we're seeing in China. But I also would like to bring your audience's attention to what's happening in Bangladesh, because it does not get hardly any attention. in part because people who are in Bangladesh who report on the rise of Islamism are being jailed or are being silenced in other ways. But in fact, Islamists are gaining greater control throughout Bangladesh. Christians who are converts from Islam and from Buddhism are being threatened, trying to be forced back into being a Muslim or to deny their faith in Christ. And so Christian Freedom International, we continue to stand alongside the Christians who are facing this kind of persecution to provide safe houses and shelters and emotional and spiritual support to help them to endure the pressure that they're facing to deny their faith.
Can you define Islamism? It's a term you've used a few times, both in reference to Nigeria, but now also in reference to Bangladesh, which used to be East Pakistan, as I understand it.
That's correct. Yes, I would say one of the best ways of describing Islamism is attempt to impose Sharia law on society, on others. And the belief, which is actually taught in the Quran, the belief that the infidel, those who are not radical believers in Islam, that there are three approaches: one, to force them to become Muslims, or to pay a jizra, to completely submit to the authority of Islamist leaders, or to kill them. Those are the three choices that those who are not Muslim would face under an Islamist rule or caliphate or under Sharia law.
Wow, that's terrible. I mean, draconian type choices. Okay, any comments you want to make about India? What is it like for Christians there today?
Yes, India is facing a Hindu radicalism leadership in which many Christians are facing severe persecution from Hindu radicals. They have a belief in order to be a citizen of India or even to exist in India, that you must be a Hindu. And so if you're not a Hindu, you need to convert or submit to their rule. We're seeing a rise and a spread of violence against Christians in India, both violence from society, but also persecution from government officials, such as jailing Christians and leaders for being accused of proselytizing or sharing their faith with others and others coming to Christ. And the reality is people are coming to Christ because Christ is the only one who gives us salvation. And when you see the stark contrast between the radical Hindu, Buddhism, Islam, communism, you can see why Christ is so attractive to those living under those rules.
Would you say that the greatest victims of persecution, as far as Christians, anti-Christian persecution, it's those who are converts out of these other religions? They would be the greatest victims.
Yes. In fact, that's what we see. And that's one reason why we work so closely with converts, is because the immediate threat is their own family members, particularly in Islam, but also in Buddhism, that when they come to Christ, for example, the Muslims believe that it's their duty to force the convert to come back to Islam, not only because they believe that the Christian would not have salvation after their death, but that also the family members of the convert, that they would not, that they would face eternal punishment for that. So we see that there's a great threat to the converts, because it comes not only from governments and society, but even their neighbors and their family members.
All right. Your website is christianfreedom.org. We have 20 seconds left. You want to close on any good news for us?
Yeah, I would encourage people to come alongside those who are suffering for their faith. The good news is that there are many people who are coming to Christ, which also means that we have the pleasure of being able to come alongside those in order to help them to endure persecution. We are seeing more people come to Christ, and they're willing to face the suffering because they know Christ is worth it.
Wow. Okay, Wendy Wright, thank you so much. ChristianFreedom.org for more information. All the best, Wendy. Thank you.
Thank you.